Hi, I'm Asha Tomlinson.
And I'm David Common.
And we're hosts of CBC Marketplace. We're award-winning investigative journalists that want to help you avoid clever scams, unsafe products, and sketchy services.
Our TV show has been Canada's top investigative consumer watchdog for more than 50 years, but this is our first podcast.
CBC Marketplace podcast is available now on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This is World Report. Good morning, I'm Marcia Young. The last two federal elections are the focus of the public inquiry into foreign interference. It resumes hearings today. Dozens of witnesses will testify over the next weeks, among them witnesses who say they have been harassed by foreign actors. Janice McGregor joins me from our parliamentary bureau. And Janice, in an unusual move, the inquiry has not released the names of these first witnesses. Why is that?
Marcia, this speaks directly to the ongoing security fears of persecuted minority groups in China, for example, that the people we're going to hear from first at this inquiry had concerns about their names being publicized in advance. From the start, the government has reminded us that diaspora groups are often the ones most affected by foreign interference, fearful their families could be targeted if they speak out about human rights violations against, for example, the Uyghur population in China, and facing potential distrust and discrimination personally because of their identity as members of a newcomer population with origins in a state that has hostile relations with Canada. But in a multicultural country, newcomers have a right to be heard in the election process. So, how this inquiry handles this key testimony, arguably a test for Commissioner Marie-José Hug. One Uyghur group pulled out in early February saying it didn't want to, for example, be cross-examined by lawyers representing politicians with standing at this inquiry who have been accused of having inappropriately close ties to the Chinese Communist Party. But to be fair, the inquiry also has to extend due process, a right of response to those allegedly enabling foreign meddling in Canada's elections.
Now, as this inquiry gets started, we are being reminded that foreign interference is a real threat. What can you tell us about that?
The Cyber Center at the Communication Security Establishment confirmed to CBC News last night that a cyber hacking group affiliated with China's Ministry of State Security has been attacking Canada, in addition to Five Eyes allies like the US and the UK, which first sounded the alarm about cyber espionage earlier this week. Online threats against politicians and democratic institutions by malicious foreign actors, yet another reminder that the threats to Canada's democracy are real.
Thank you, Janice.
You're welcome.
The CBC's Janice McGregor in Ottawa. The RCMP says it is making progress on recommendations made after the worst mass shooting in Canadian history. But it insists the change will take time and not all the recommendations are being addressed. Brett Ruskin explains.
It's been 1 year since the Mass Casualty Commission's final report. It was the largest and most in-depth public inquiry in Nova Scotia's history. The result was a checklist, 130 recommendations designed to address factors that led to the Nova Scotia shooting in April of 2020. 75 of them were directed at police. Today, we heard from the RCMP that they've taken that list and are looking at the principle of each recommendation. The RCMP has created 10 different themes, new categories, and three different phases. Digging into what's actually been done so far, police say they've completed 10 of the 130 recommendations, and the big ones still haven't been addressed, like a full overhaul of the organizational structure and a deadline to phase out the Regina, Saskatchewan training depot by the end of the year 2032. Police today addressed that point by saying they're improving depot all the time and modernizing the programs there on an ongoing basis with no phase out on the horizon. Brett Ruskin, CBC News, Millbrook, Nova Scotia.
Divers are back in the water looking for the six men missing and presumed dead in Baltimore. Mayor Brandon Scott says the search will be difficult.
That work is already dangerous, but will be even more so today with the expected rain, the choppy waters, and we all know about the debris and other things that they'll be dealing with.
The search was suspended overnight. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says recovery is still the priority, but restoring access to the Port of Baltimore is also important to the state's economy.
We're talking about a port that is responsible for over 140,000 jobs indirectly are impacted by the Port of Baltimore. And so we have to both make sure that our workers are supported and getting this economy moving again.
Investigators say they have the data recorder from the cargo ship that crashed into the Key Bridge yesterday. If you have kids or work with them, you might have noticed more empty seats in classrooms lately. A CBC News investigation has found more kids are missing many days of school. Tara Carmen reports.
I'm seeing some real resistance to wanting to go to school.
Laurel Richmond's son had a rocky start to his kindergarten year. He struggled to keep up with his class, especially in reading.
He said, "Mom, I feel like I'm stupid. Everyone else seems to be getting it."
Then the pandemic closed school for 3 months in New Brunswick, and some kids, like Richmond's son, struggled to get back in the classroom. A CBC News investigation found chronic absence rates, where students miss at least 10% of the school year, are up significantly. Richmond's district, Anglophone West, was one of six across the country where absence rates among elementary students more than doubled compared with pre-pandemic. Maria Rogers is a child psychologist and Canada Research Chair in Child Mental Health and Well-being at Carleton University. She says kids like Richmond's son, who need more support and don't always get it, likely account for some of the increase. But she says the issue could go deeper.
There's just been this normalization of school attendance problems.
Some kids may have gotten used to using Teams or Google Classroom and are showing up less as a result. Rogers says even missing 2 days a month can have an impact.
We start to see more adverse outcomes for kids, both academically and socially.
There's little data on how many kids miss school, and even less about why. Rogers is part of a newly formed research group hoping to find those answers. Tara Carmen, CBC News, Vancouver.
Vladimir Putin is pushing for deeper ties with some African allies. The Russian president was on the phone today, speaking to his counterparts in Mali and Democratic Republic of Congo. The Kremlin is portraying Russia as a friendly country without any colonial past in Africa, especially in West Africa, where some countries have recently had coups. In Mali, for example, Wagner Group mercenaries have replaced French forces fighting anti-government rebels. The Italian government is expanding a program aimed at breaking the cycle of organized crime. Its focus is saving children from mafia families. The program has been in place for years, but now it's being extended to more organized crime groups, and it could remove children from their homes. Megan Williams has more from Rome.
It's called the Free to Choose Protocol, launched 12 years ago in Calabria, home to the globally powerful clan-based 'Ndrangheta crime network.
Certo, se nasci in una famiglia mafiosa, spesso il tuo destino è segnato.
If you're born into a mafiosa family, your destiny is all but sealed, says Maria Elisa Giacondo. Giacondo helps run an after-school program in Calabria geared to kids who come from 'Ndrangheta families. The idea is to teach them alternative values to those of crime, which Giacondo calls a culture of bullying. They learn about cooperation and civic involvement, elements of a larger world beyond the suffocating one of crime, she says. The Free to Choose protocol was expanded this week to the Sicilian Cosa Nostra and Naples Camorra crime groups, and also includes the power to remove from crime families at-risk kids, those taught to shoot a gun at age 8, for instance. So far, about 150 children have been placed with foster families or in communities in secret locations across Italy. 30 mothers have followed their children, some turning state witness.
Denunciare, pentirsi, significherebbe denunciare il padre, lo zio, il fratello, quindi è più difficile.
Giacondo says, because leaving the mafia means cutting ties with family members, very few do so without the help of state programs like Free to Choose. Megan Williams, CBC News, Rome.
It is a moment in cinematic history that caused years of debate. Even an episode of MythBusters.
Come on! Here, get on it! Get on!
Could Jack have fit on that broken door and survived beside Rose? I'm talking about the 1997 film Titanic. And guess what? It was not a door. It was just a broken piece of wood paneling. And this weekend, it has been sold at auction for $977,000. We don't know who bought it. Maybe a fan hoping to give Jack and Rose their happily ever after. Yes, our heart will go on here at World Report. That is the latest national and international news. I'm Marcia Young.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.